Okay, good morning. I heard a voice or two say good morning. That's nice. Glad to have you with us this morning. As is our custom at Hydewood, we open the service by reading a portion of God's Word, and then we'll start the service. So today we're going to read from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And these will be familiar verses. You'll hear a little bit more about this during the message. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit me be it so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had baptized Jesus and came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction that it provides for us. And we thank you that one of the ordinances that we are commanded to perform is the ordinance of baptism. And we thank you for Ryan and Shayla and Freddie who have that desire to be identified with Christ and to enter into the waters of baptism, to be identified and to proclaim that they have a desire to walk with you and to serve you. So we thank you for the example that your word provides for us. We ask that you would be with this service, that the preaching, the fellowship time, the baptism, the music, every facet of this service will be honoring to you and bring praise and glory to your name. So we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, and we ask for your blessing through this day, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've had a popping microphone the last 2 weeks, and I came in here Thursday and was testing it out, and we tried all sorts of things, and it didn't pop. So we said we would try it this morning and see what happens, and sure enough, it popped. So we're going to switch mics, but it'll work. It's great to see you all here. We're excited that you're here. This is an exciting Sunday for us at Hydewood. It's exciting Sunday for any church when they're doing a baptism service. It's an opportunity where you have a couple individuals who have decided to take a public stance for what they believe and for what they claim. We're going to look at a couple passages this morning. We're going to talk about baptism and what baptism is and what significance this morning has in the lives of our three individuals. It's a time of celebration. It's a time for them to take a step. And it's a time for us as a church, family, friends, fellow believers, to come alongside them and make a commitment to them, just like today they're going to make a commitment to Christ publicly. So what I want to look at this morning is a couple questions regarding to baptism. So if you see up on the screen, you're going to see a couple questions. It says, what is baptism? Why should we be baptized? Who should be baptized? And when should I be baptized? And these are some questions that typically come up regarding baptism. The who, what, when, and why. The where doesn't necessarily matter. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the first thing I want to talk about is what is baptism? What do we believe baptism is? You know, there's a lot of different theories about baptism in religion, in churches. Churches do different styles. You have different things. So the first thing we're going to look at is what is baptism? And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, if you have one, to Matthew 3. And we're going to look at verses 11 to 17. In Matthew 3, verses 11 to 17. If you're familiar with this passage at all, there's a man named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had been sent before Jesus to kind of prepare the way for Christ, to kind of start setting the standard. Now, Christ is on earth. And Christ comes to where John the Baptist is. And John the Baptist had been baptizing people in the River Jordan. And he'd been doing this for quite some time, establishing the way. And Jesus comes up to John, and in this passage, he's asking John to baptize him. They're in the wilderness, and Jesus comes up and says this. Look at verse 11 of Matthew 3. Or John is speaking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean his floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John prohibited him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness regarding prophecies that had been told. Then he permitted him. And when Jesus was baptized, he came up immediately out of the water, and suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. In verse 17, it says, and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That verse isn't listed on, or it should be listed on the slides. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We're going to see a couple things here. This is our first picture of what baptism is, right? John the Baptist had been baptizing, but we didn't really get a description of what it was until Jesus is now with John the Baptist. In verse 16, it says, and when Jesus was baptized, he came up immediately out of the water. There's two things. Again, I reiterate, I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know the Greek language, but I do know this. The word that's used here is baptizo, and the word translated means to submerge or to immerse. So behind me, there is a pool that is filled with water. To me, it comes up to about my waist. To a couple of our individuals, it'll come up a little bit higher because they're not as tall as me. But we have a pool back here because we believe in submersion. As Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, it says he came up immediately out of the water, implying that he was submerged. And then we also know that the word that's used here means to submerge. So we believe in submersion baptism. So the individuals, when they come up to be baptized, they will be submerged completely down under the water, and then they will be brought back up. So that's the two things that we see in verse 16. The word baptizo, and then that Jesus immediately came out of the water, telling us that he was underwater. So we believe first that baptism, if you look at the next slide, is by immersion. The act of putting someone or something completely in a liquid, or the state of being completely in liquid. Your body is fully underwater. There is no part of you above it. So that's what will happen to the individuals this morning. Secondly, we believe that baptism is symbolic, okay? It is symbolic of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because we don't believe that Jesus stayed dead. We believe that Christ came for a purpose. Christ came, he died on the cross, but then 3 days later, he rose again. Christ didn't stay dead. We sang about it in the last song. Your name, if Christ stayed dead, if he stayed in the tomb, his name would have no power, would it? Because his name would be just like any of ours. When we die, that's it. We're not coming back to life. But by Christ rising again and defeating death and defeating the grave, he proves that he has power over death. He has power over sin. He has the power to make a way for us to be redeemed and for us to have an eternity with him rather than an eternity separated. When the individuals come back here this morning, they're going to come out. They're going to face all of you guys so that you guys can all see them. They'll be nervous. I'm going to ask them a couple questions and give them a chance to talk a little bit. But they're going to be standing upright. And then after I ask them three questions, we're going to turn them sideways. They've all been told this already, so they're not surprised. And we're going to baptize them. And they're going to start upright. They're going to go all the way backwards, underwater, and come all the way back upright. It's symbolic. The motion is symbolic of Christ's death, his burial, and then his resurrection. As we submerge them underwater, it's symbolic of them dying with Christ, as Christ died and was in the tomb. And then as they rise up out of the water, it's symbolic of Christ's resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:34 with me. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Paul is talking. He says, for I delivered to you first all that which I also received, how Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. See, Christ died, he was buried, but he rose again. Look also at Colossians 2:12. I have them all on the screen so that you guys don't have to flip to them all this morning because we're going to bounce through them quick. Colossians 2:12 says this. It says, buried each with him in baptism, all right, part of the symbolism, in which also you were raised with him through the faith of the power of God who has raised him from the dead. Buried in faith with him in baptism. As we go backwards, we're burying, we're dying with Christ and being buried. And then as we come back up, it's symbolic of rising again. And that's what the last thing is. Lastly, we believe that baptism is an illustration of our new life as a Christian. All right? As we come up out of the water, as we're coming out, as Jesus came out of the tomb to a new life, symbolically, as they come out of the water, they're symbolically coming out to a new life. Because what they're doing is making a statement this morning saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross and rose again for my sins. And I believe that he is my personal Lord and Savior. I have accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior. And so when we baptize to the old. It says in the scriptures that our old life is gone once we accept salvation. Our old life is gone. Behold, all things are new. We are a new creation in Christ. So as we rise from the water, it's symbolic that they've risen to a new life. As the individuals rise up from being submerged, they're dying to their old life, and they're starting a new life. They're taking a public stance saying, the life I want to live this morning and moving forward for the future is a life that would be pleasing to Christ. So we believe that it's a new life as a Christian. We're going to look at Romans 6, verse 8. Romans 6, we'll look at verses 4 to 8. Romans 6, verses 4 to 8. And it says this. It says, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, so shall we also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. And knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. What Christ did on the cross over 2,000 years ago was he took all the sins of the world on him in that immediate moment. By dying, he paid the punishment for those sins for us, for you and for me. And by rising again, he conquers sin and death, proving that it can't hold him down, that he is God, he is almighty, he is all-powerful, and he has final say. And in doing so, the punishment for our sins has already been taken care of so that we can walk in a new life with Christ. If we're believers, we can walk in newness of life, knowing that Christ has already taken care of what our punishment should be so that we don't have to. So we believe that baptism is this. It's by immersion. It's symbolic of Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection. And we believe that it's an illustration of newness of life. What we don't believe baptism is not this. Baptism is not a way to salvation. It doesn't make you a believer. What we do this morning is not the final icing on the cake to wrap the package up. Baptism doesn't make you a believer. If you've been baptized, that has nothing to do with accepting the gift of salvation. They're separate. In fact, you're baptized because you accepted the gift of salvation. You get baptized because you already believe. It's an outward sign of the inward commitment that these individuals have made to live a life that's honoring to Christ. And that brings us to our second question that we asked. Why? Why should I be baptized? If I already accepted salvation, if I've accepted the free gift, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. And if salvation is not contingent or it doesn't hinge on baptism, if I don't have to be baptized to be saved, then why should I be baptized, right? Because some people don't like water, some people don't like swimming, some people don't like being submerged or feeling in confined spaces. There's not a lot of space up there. There's a decent amount of room, but if you're claustrophobic, you know, it's a little tight. And then the thought of someone else putting you underwater and controlling when you come back up, that can be scary. So if I don't have to be baptized to be saved, then why should I be, right? It's a fair question. Here's why. Look at Mark 1, verse 9. Mark 1, verse 9 says this, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Mark is reiterating what we read in Matthew, that Jesus came to John the Baptist and was baptized. Right? So why should we be baptized? Well, the first reason we should be baptized is because Jesus did it. And if we claim to be followers of Christ, then we should want to do what Christ has already done, right? So firstly, we should be baptized because we need to follow the example of Christ. Christ set the example for us in a lot of things that he did. The life that he lived here on earth set a lot of examples, baptism being one of them. Look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Typically, this passage of Scripture is known as the Great Commission. There we go. Matthew 8, 19 and 20. Jesus is talking to the disciples, right? And Jesus is telling them, all right, this is what you need to do. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm not going to be here forever with you. So this is his last final command, his issuance of instructions to the disciples. And what does he say? I can't read that screen because I use terrible font. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded to you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Amen. This is the commands that he gives to them. Go into all the world. Actually, if you look at the original context, the original text says, while you are going. The verb or the action word in this passage is not to go. It's the command to make disciples, to baptize. Because he's implying to them, you should already be going. We already understand this. You are to be going to all the world. In every action, we all go to work, right? Or we go to school. Or we interact with people at the grocery store. Yeah, exactly. Get excited. That grocery store, man. I love food. Everywhere we go, we interact with people, right? So Jesus is saying to the disciples, while you're out going, while you're doing these things, this is what you need to be doing. You need to be teaching. You need to be preaching. You need to be creating disciples. And once they believe, now you need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Trinity. God the Father, who sent Jesus Christ the Son, who's with them now, and says, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you always in the form of my Spirit. When Christ ascends 40 days after the resurrection, what happens? We run into the day of Pentecost. And we see the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the believers at the day of Pentecost. See, Christ left behind his Spirit so that we would have someone with us always. Because he promised, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the ages. So firstly, we need to follow the example of Christ. Secondly, we're actually commanded. We're commanded to be baptized. We're commanded to baptize others, and we are commanded ourselves to be baptized. Jesus said that if we'll love him, we'll keep his commands. And then John says that we know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands. Part of being a believer, part of wanting to live a life for Christ is to be obedient to him, right? Well, Jesus commands us to be baptized. So it's a symbol of obedience that we're submitting to what Christ would want us to do. So we've talked about what baptism is. We talked about why we should be baptized. But here's a question. Who should be baptized? This is a big question. Who should be baptized? I'm going to put four passages on the screen. And the four passages I want you to jot down. I want you to read them later. We don't have time to read through all of them. We're going to look at one of those in a minute. But these four different passages are different encounters where someone became a believer and then was baptized. But I want you to go back and read all of them. All right, the first one, Acts 2, verse 41. It's Peter addressing the crowd at the day of Pentecost. So after Christ has left and they receive the Spirit, it says that many were saved and then were baptized because they were obeying the commands that were given. They were saved and they wanted to take the next step. They wanted to take that public profession of faith by being baptized. In Acts 8, 35 to 38, this is the one we'll look at in a minute. So skip to Acts 18, verse 8. This is Paul in Corinth with a man named Crispus. And he's witnessing to a man named Crispus. And it says that him and many in his household were saved and then were baptized. And the final one, Acts 22, verse 16, is actually Paul retelling of his conversion when he was blinded on the road. And then he goes into town. And he goes from being the greatest persecutor of Christ to being the greatest witness for Christ, right? And he retells that story in Acts 22, verse 16, about how he was converted and then saved and baptized. And that's just a few of the references that we could go on. But the answer that you'll find in each one of these questions, if you ask the question of who should be baptized, is it's very specific. Believers are the ones who should be baptized. Because of what baptism is. We've already said that baptism is a symbolic thing, right? That it's the individual making a public profession of their inward faith. So if you don't believe, then why would you be baptized? We believe that baptism is specific to believers. That if you believe, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you should be baptized. Because it's that step to say, I am a believer. Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is who should be baptized. If you haven't, then you shouldn't. Baptism is for those who've accepted the gift of salvation. They understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and they've called upon the Savior of the world for forgiveness of sins and redemption from their eternal separation that we will receive if we don't accept Christ as our Savior. So understanding what baptism is, understanding why, and understanding who, the final question is when. And at this time, the three of you can head to the back and get ready. So the three individuals who are going to be baptized are now going to stand up. We're going to put them awkwardly on the spot as they walk away, as if you weren't going to know in 5 minutes when they were in the pool. But the final question is, when should I be baptized? And you guys have 37 seconds. Clock starts now. When should I be baptized? If you look back at that list of passages that I gave you on the screen, all four of those from Acts, right? They all have a same trait. There's a commonality that runs between all of them, all right? When they believed, they were then baptized. We're going to go back to Acts 8, the one that I said we'll come back to in a minute. So turn with me to Acts 8. In Acts 8, we're going to see the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's talking with Philip. Philip was a man who was witnessing, and he encounters an Ethiopian eunuch, and they go for a chariot ride, and Philip is witnessing to the man. And in Acts 8, verse 35, we pick up the passage, and it says this. Then Philip spoke, beginning with the same scripture, and preached Jesus to him. As they went on their way, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to halt. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. If you look back at those other passages in Acts, and those are just a few, when they were saved, they then immediately were baptized. Here's the thing. When should I be baptized? That's up to you. There is no time frame. There is no, you have to get saved and then within 30 days or this offer expires. There is no call now in the next 30 seconds and we'll double the offer. All right? None of that happens. Because we said baptism or salvation is not contingent upon baptism. But Jesus wants you to be baptized. It's something that he set an example for. It's something he commanded us to do. So when should you be baptized? When you're ready. Baptism is something for believers. It's a way to take that step in front of everybody and say, look, this is the life that I want to live. The three individuals in a minute are going to make a public declaration to all of you that they are committing to live a life for Christ. That's what baptism is. So when you're ready, after you've become a believer, there's no good reason to wait. Take that step immediately to profess your faith to everyone. Because you're saying to them, this is how I want to live. And now your job, as friends, as family, as church family, is to then help them be accountable to the statement they're about to make. So when they're baptized and they make that profession of faith saying, this is the life I want to live, you now are responsible by me being witnesses to keep them accountable for what they're going to do. Just like at a wedding when they turn the bride and groom around and say, congratulations, meet the bride and groom. You guys now are accountable to help them in marriage. We're also accountable to help these individuals live the life that they want to live. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he has done for you the gift of salvation, then there's no reason to wait. So when should you be baptized? As soon as you believe. As soon as you believe and you're ready to be baptized, take that step. We already have someone else who has been identified who wants to be baptized, who things didn't work out timing-wise for this go-around. But here's the thing. We can fill that pool as many times as we need to for individuals to be baptized because it's such a great celebration to be a part of, to be a part of that life and come alongside and say, I'm so excited that you've made this commitment and I want to help you. So if you want to be baptized, if you haven't been, let me know after the service. We can talk. If you don't believe, though, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's no greater time than now. Life isn't going to get better. The world we live in is only getting worse. Christ did something for you, the greatest gift that ever could have been given. He died on the cross for you and rose 3 days later to provide eternal hope that if you accept his gift of salvation, if you accept his love, that you can be assured where your eternity is. If you haven't accepted Christ or you haven't been baptized, I'll ask you the same question. Why are you waiting? What would cause you to wait? Life is so much better with him. We're going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. We thank you for the time that we have here, that we can celebrate with these individuals, the life that they want to now publicly commit to, that they want to commit to living a life that would be honoring to you and pleasing to you, that what they do, what they say would bring glory to your name, that, Lord, as they live their life, that they would shine in this dark world, that people would see them and they would see something's different. Lord, I pray that as a group of people here, as friends, as family, as church, Lord, that we would be able to come alongside them and help them be accountable to the life they want to live. So, Father, I thank you for this time of celebration. I thank you that we get to be here. And I pray that it would just be a great time to be able to come along these individuals and help them as they make this stance to say, I want to live for Christ. I want to be different. And I want the world to know that I'm different. So, Lord, we pray for the remainder of this time. We pray that it would bring glory to you, that your name would be praised, and that we would all be able to celebrate together. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Shayla was in a panic when you said 37 seconds. Joshua, you have 37 seconds. So I have to do a couple of announcements while he's getting ready for the baptismal part. And just a couple of ones. First of all, there's a luncheon afterwards, so the entire church is invited to join us downstairs. We're having a celebration of the baptism. So if you're a guest, if you're a member of the church, if you're here just to visit and to support our three that are being baptized, come on downstairs. There's doors at this corner and this corner. Just follow the staircase downstairs there's a bunch of tables, and there'll be some food set up. So we'd love to have you join us to celebrate the baptism time. If you have an annual report that's due, they have to be into the church office as quickly as possible. Wednesday night is our church annual business meeting, so we will be approving budgets on Wednesday evening. So we encourage everyone to come on Wednesday to discuss the Lord's work here at Hydewood and to vote and approve on the budgets and the officers being elected. VBS is coming up. We've been talking about this for a couple weeks. VBS, if you have gallon jugs of milk or water that are empty, rinse them out, bring them back with the caps on. We're going to build igloos in July. So we're going to have global warming effects here at Hydewood. So for our VBS program, we're going to build a couple of igloos, and we need about 420 gallons to do that. And also, if you have tissue boxes that are the cube size, not the long rectangular ones, but cube size tissue boxes, when you take the last tissue, save the box and bring that to the church office as well, because we're going to use those as part of the VBS program. Thursday, May 4th, this coming Thursday, is the National Day of Prayer. And Somerset County, our National Day of Prayer will be at the Somerset County Courthouse on East Main Street in Somerville. So there's a number of churches that will be participating, and if you would like to come and join us, we'd be happy to have you join us as we pray for our country, for our leaders, for our government. And so that's Thursday, May 4th, from 6:30 to 7:30. If you are coming, just bring a lawn chair or two to sit on, and maybe one for a friend if they don't have one. That would be it. Joshua, are you ready?
This is the fun part. We get to actually do the baptism now and celebrate. If you're going to take pictures, I would invite you to take as many pictures as you want, video, whatever, position yourself wherever you need to, so that you can do so.
I'm going to ask each individual on their own to come down. I'm going to ask them a couple questions, give them an opportunity to share their story if they'd like to. Shayla said that she wants to take about a half hour to talk to you guys. So you can blame Shayla if we run over. But I'm going to ask Shayla to come down first. She's been very antsy and nervous, and she said that she wants to go first. So Shayla, come on down. So Shayla's been coming to the youth group for about a year now, maybe a little bit more, and always has some interesting insights on Wednesday nights, interesting comments. But it's been great to get to know her. And as we were talking about baptism, Ryan was very excited to get baptized and was talking to Shayla about it. And Shayla really wanted to and was like, I don't know how this works. I don't know anything. Can you walk me through it? So we walked her through what baptism is and kind of what I walked you guys through this morning about why we baptize. So Shayla's here this morning because she wants to make that commitment, and she said that she doesn't want to talk to you guys. So I'm going to ask her a series of questions. I'm going to ask the same three questions to all individuals. And what this is their statement of faith, and it's a profession for what they believe, and it's what you guys can listen to and then hold them accountable to based on their answer. So Shayla, turn this way. Shayla, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died and rose again for your sins?
Yes.
Shayla, most importantly, have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Go ahead, hold your hands. Based on your profession of faith, this morning we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Going back. Turn this way. It's really not that cold up here. Our next individual has been with us for a little while. Ryan's been coming for about 3 years now. Ryan is very persistent on being here on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings, and he's been a great example to his friends. Some of his friends are here today. But he's constantly reaching out to his friends, asking them to come be a part of youth group. And to see kind of his growth and his maturity and where he's come from to where he is now and hopefully to where he continues to progress. It's been great to watch him growing up. The way that he acts in youth group, the example that he is to his friends, it's really cool. It's really amazing to see. And so to be able to baptize him is very special for me, knowing just kind of some of his backstory of what he's come from, what he's dealt with, what he's walked through to where he is now and where he wants to go. It's a great story. Do you want to share anything with them?
Nope.
So I'm going to ask Ryan the same three questions that I asked Shayla. Ryan, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died and rose again for your sins?
Yes.
Ryan, most importantly, have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Ryan, based on your profession of faith, this morning we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our last individual this morning that's coming down is Freddie. Freddie, how long have you been coming to Hydewood?
Not even a year.
Not even a year. Yeah. Do you want to share your story a bit?
Yes.
Freddie's going to share a little bit about his story, just about how he came here, how he came to know Christ, how he came to be a part of this baptism this morning, the influences being Jimmy up in the booth, and just a little bit more. So go ahead.
Yeah. 1 year ago, I didn't know what I wanted. It was for me blind. I was walking blind. I didn't know what I wanted until a couple of person came to my life. I met them, and they came to me very very genius. They tried to walk me through couple things. I didn't understand that at that time, but since then I came here. And I understand a little bit more of Jesus Christ. And then those persons that came to my life 1 year ago, I really want to thank. And then especially to the church that opened their doors for us and for my family. And then now I'm here, and then I want to accept that this is very, it's very great to be here, and I want to accept this gift for me.
Getting to know a little bit about Freddie as we walk through the membership class as well as baptism, and just a little bit about his story, seeing where he's come from, what he's walked through, his commitment to his family, what he sacrificed for his family for them to be able to be here and to be together, and what he continues to want to do. He's not satisfied with where he is, and he wants to continue to grow, and both with his family and spiritually. And he was very, very adamant about coming, and he got a little nervous last week because his son had a stomach bug and couldn't be here, and called up Jimmy, and Jimmy's calling me, and Freddie's nervous that he missed the baptism class. He's not going to be able to be baptized on Sunday, and he wants to make sure he can. And I said, don't worry about it. He was here for it. I know where Freddie's coming from. We'll talk with him, so it's not a problem. So we're glad to have you this morning.
Thank you.
So Freddie, I'm going to ask you the same three questions that I asked Shayla and Ryan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So turn this way. Freddie, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died and rose again for your sins?
Yes.
And Freddie, most importantly, have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith, this morning we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What these three individuals have now done before Christ and before you is they've taken that final step where they've taken their faith, and now they've made it public. Probably because a lot of you are going to post this on YouTube, and you're going to post it on your Facebook page, and you're going to get to celebrate with friends and family. But what they did is they said that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they believe that he died, and 3 days later he rose again to take care of their sin. And most importantly, they have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And by being baptized, now they're taking that step to say, I want to live a life that would bring honor and glory to his name. And that's what we get to celebrate this morning, that we have three individuals who have publicly now proclaimed their faith in Christ. And whatever's going to come with it, whether they get ridiculed by friends, whether people think weird things about them because of what they've said, they're willing to take that on because they love the name of Christ. They love who he is, what he's done for them, and they want to live a life that would be pleasing to him. So that's what we get to celebrate this morning. I would pose one final question to all of you. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, why not? Come and talk to either me or Don, who's in the back over here. We'll be up front here at the end where you can congratulate these three on the step that they've taken today. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would challenge you to ask questions. Come talk to us. I'll be glad to talk to you. And I'll tell you why I believe what I believe and why it makes me so happy every day. I'm going to close in a word of prayer for these three, and then we're going to have the offering and a closing song. At the end of the service, we're going to have the three of them come up here. Please come in and talk to them and welcome them. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that we can baptize Ryan and Shayla and Freddie. I thank you that the three of them have decided to take the stand to publicly proclaim your name, that in front of their friends, in front of family, in front of everybody, they've said that they want to be known as a follower of Christ, that they want to live a life according to what you would want them to do. So Father, I pray as they move forward from this, Lord, that they would continue in your strength, that as they face different trials and tribulations down the road, Lord, I pray that you would help them walk through it and they would come out on the other side stronger because of you. Lord, I pray as a church and as a family that we would be able to come alongside them and help keep them accountable to the life they've proclaimed that they want to live. Lord, I thank you for this time of celebration. I thank you for the time that we're going to have after, that we can just be with each other and we can celebrate your name and these three lives and the commitment they've made to you. So, Father, be with the remainder of this service and our time together, and just bless it. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.